Amen. There is a word from the Lord. If you would be so kind, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm number 103. Psalm number 103. Psalms is the book of Psalms, but Psalms does not have chapters. It has numbers. It has numbers. So Psalms number 103, and we'll begin reading at verse 1 through verse 5. If you have it, say agape. Hear ye the word of the Lord. As a matter of fact, let us stand for the reading of the word. Amen. Amen. Psalms 103, beginning verse 1. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. From this passage of scripture, we want to use as a subject 8 reasons to praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. 8 reasons to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord. This Thanksgiving season, the people of God ought to praise the Lord. Are y'all with me this morning? Let me kind of put this in perspective. Yesterday, I caught the last four minutes of the Ohio State and Michigan football game. It was a close game. It was a good game. These were number 2 and number 3 in the nation in the college football rankings. The last 4 minutes, I caught that along with the double overtime of this game. But what I observed in this game is that Urban Meyer, who is the coach for Ohio State, he began running up and down the sideline, raising his hand like this, getting the audience and the fans to get up and to make noise for Ohio State. And he wanted them to get up and make noise because Urban wanted the victory. And he was cheering, getting the fans to cheer the players on in order to attain the victory. Are you with me this morning? But he had to pump them up in order to get the victory. But I believe that I'm in the midst of people who have already gained the victory because of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross 2,000 years ago and defeated death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, we are victorious. Now, listen. I don't feel like I need to be like Urban Meyer to tell you to get up and to praise the Lord, because we are already victorious in Christ Jesus. The people of God ought to praise ye the Lord because we've already have the victory. Oh, y'all sleeping on me this morning. Listen. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a psalm of thanksgiving, and the people of God ought to be thankful. People of God ought to praise the Lord. People of God ought to worship the Lord. And you don't need nobody to pump you up when you know how good God is. David, the songwriter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this song of praise. This song is considered one of the highest in all the songs of praise. It's considered one of the highest, and its author is King David. David has written this song after years of serving his God. David is in the latter part of his years, and God, under the inspiration of the Spirit, gave him this song. And it's about praising the Lord. So first and foremost, number one, we need to praise God just for who he is. Do you hear me this morning? We need to praise the Lord just for who he is. Just for who he is. Look at the scripture. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now notice, David hasn't just won some victory. He hasn't just been delivered from some catastrophe. David just breaks out in praise. David just begins worshiping his God. Not because God had done anything for David. David, by the Spirit of God, just thinks himself happy about who God is. And he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Well, what is his name? What is his name? What is his name? Well, when I thought about this, I thought about Moses and at the burning bush. And God interrupted Moses' life and revealed himself to Moses, said, Moses, I need you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, well, when I go and they ask, who is this God and what is his name? What am I to tell them your name is? And God says, just tell them that I am, that I am. That's the name. He says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I am that I am. And we ought to praise God simply because he is, I am. I am, I am, I am what you need. I am what you're looking for. I am everything to you. And we ought to praise him. Oh, we ought to just praise him for who he is. He's God. He's God all by himself. And the people of God, we ought to just praise him for who he is. God, you don't have to do nothing. I'm going to just praise you because you're God, because you're I am. And David blesses the name of the Lord just for who he is. And you and I have to learn. We've got to learn to praise God for who he is. Listen, Psalm 34, I read it earlier. David invokes his whole being to praise the Lord. He says, praise the Lord, and everything that is within me, bless his holy name. Everything, everything, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, David says, everything within me, bless his holy name. His soul being, who he was, he's invoking his entire being to praise the Lord. Everything. Listen. This is the thing about it. When we come here to worship God, we need to give him everything. Everything. We need to give God our all. You know why? He gave us his all. His all. God didn't cut corners with us. He sent his very own son, Jesus, to die for your sins and for my sins. And when we come together to worship him, we need to give him all. I mean, come on now. We give the Cowboys a whole lot of energy. Give the Cowboys a whole lot of energy. Give the Spurs a whole lot of energy. Go out of our way. We'll set the DVR. We'll do whatever it takes to give them. But what about the King of Glory? The captain of your soul. What about him? He says, all that is within me. As a matter of fact, David understood worship of God, because in Psalm 34, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the Lord. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he goes on to say in 34, he says, oh, magnify. Oh, there it is. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Listen, you got to understand something. David realized that all that is within him wasn't enough. See, I can try to pick this pulpit up, and I might be a little strong, but I'm not that strong to carry this by myself. And so because it's so big, because it's so grand, because it's so heavy, because it's so loaded, I need to ask for help. And what David realized is that God was so grand, and that God was so big, and that God was so magnificent that he said, I need help in magnifying the Lord. Can I get some help this morning in worshiping, in magnifying? our big God, our great God, our magnificent God. All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. So we praise him for who he is. For who he is. Secondly. David moves with praising him for who he is to praising him for what he has done. Oh, my goodness. Listen. He says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Listen. We've just come out of an election, and many people have casted their votes. They cast their vote based on a candidate which would benefit them. They voted based on a candidate which would benefit them. Many people, that was the reason they voted. I'm voting for this person because this person will provide this type of benefit or that type of benefit and vice versa. And they cast their votes. And just to be quite honest with you, many folks have retirement plans. Many people seek employment looking for certain benefits. But can I tell you something? God offers a benefit package. Oh. God offers a benefit package like none other. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Anybody understand that? Listen, when you serve the Lord, your benefit package, you don't have to wait till retirement age. I'm so glad that my benefits kicked in the moment I said yes to Jesus. Hey, he says, forget not all his benefits. Not all his benefits. Well, what are these benefits, David? What are the benefits? Here's number one. Here it is. Here's another reason. Who forgives all your iniquities. That's benefit number one. There it is. Another reason. We need to praise the Lord for forgiveness of sin. Praise the Lord for forgiveness of sin. Now let's just stop and think about who wrote this. David. King David wrote this. This is the same man who was supposed to go out in the battle like all the other kings did, but he decided to hang back. And as he hung back, he observed this fine as May wine woman by the name of Bathsheba bathing on the roof. David is the king. And whatever the king orders, the king gets. And so David ordered that this woman, Bathsheba, come to him. And this king, David, I'm talking about the one who wrote this. King David sleeps with this woman who is a married woman. She's married. Her husband's name is Uriah. Her husband is out on the battlefield doing what he's supposed to be doing. But King David, this man after God's own heart, King David sleeps with this man's wife. Then, not only did he commit adultery, but then the woman got pregnant. And the same David, this conniving David, calls for the woman's husband from the battlefield. Tells the man to come in and gives the man a drink, gets him good and drunk. Tell him to go home, thinking he's going to sleep with his wife. But this man is so focused, this man is so committed, he says, dare I sleep with my wife when I've got other soldiers on the battlefield. So the man refuses to sleep with his wife. David's trying to manipulate the situation. This same David decides to take this man and place this man on the front lines. And then he orders that the man be killed. He set the man up to be killed. And so Uriah is killed in battle. And David goes and marries this woman. But then David goes on, this same David. God told David to lead his people. David goes and take a census of the people, unauthorized by God. God did not give him permission to count the people, but David did. David counted the people. So now you got this liar, you got this murderer, you got this adulteress, you got this person who was disobedient to God. And David in Psalms 51, David prayed a prayer. He says, purge me with hyssop. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Now, that same David is now writing that God, a benefit, forgives all of your sins. Now, don't look at me in here like I'm crazy, as if you don't have any sins. Don't leave David out there by himself. Amen. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Have I got a witness in here? Here it is. All I need you to do right now, this is all I need you to do. I need you for just about, it ain't going to take you that long, about 10 seconds. Just 10 seconds to think of the worst thing you've ever done. Ooh. Just 10 seconds. Think about it. No, think about it. Think about it. 3, 2, 1. That's 10 seconds. Now, I need you to look at somebody and say, he forgave that too. Look at somebody else. He forgave that too. Listen. All of your sins and iniquities. What a benefit. What a benefit. God has forgiven me of all of my sins, past, present, and future. They are covered by the blood of Jesus. What a benefit. And we ought to praise God because we are forgiven of all of our sins. All of our sins. What a benefit. Look. David, this man has all of his sins forgiven, and all we've got to do is confess them. This is what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all, I like that word, all unrighteousness. And then look, even in this same psalm, listen, I don't want you to miss it. Psalm 103:12, it says this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. If you go east, you'll never see west. Oh. As far as the east is from the west. In other words, he don't even see it. It's removed. It's gone. It's as if it never happened. We ought to thank and praise God for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Thirdly, we need to praise and thank God, praise the Lord for his healing power. Woo! We ought to praise him for his healing powers. Look at the latter part of verse 3. Forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. All your diseases. Now wait, somebody's saying, now wait a minute. All. Listen. What the scripture is teaching us is that God is the source of all healing. Do you hear me today? He is the source of all healing. And look what David said in Psalm 6:2. David experienced this. David said, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. That sounds like a sick man. Psalm 6:2. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. But then Psalm 32, O Lord, my God, I cried to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. Ooh, thou didst heal me. God is the source of all of our healings. Now listen. God heals physically. Has anybody ever been healed? God can heal physically. Yes, he does. Now, let's be real about this. God does not always heal physically. He's able, but don't ever doubt God's ableness. God can heal physically, but he does not always do that. Think about it. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Paul pleaded with the Lord three times to remove it. And God did not remove it. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, you're going to live with it, and I'm going to help you live with it. Oh, he's good. I'm going to help you live with it. But listen, even King David had a baby out of that, in that adulterous relationship. He had a son. And David, the son, took ill after birth. And David fasted. David prayed. He laid out before God, fasting and praying for that baby to live, for that baby to survive. And you know what happened? God still took that baby. God took that baby. David prayed hard for that baby, but God took that baby. Now, could God not have healed that baby? Oh, yes. God could have healed that baby, but in that case, God chose not to do it. He chose not to do it. But you know what? The baby was still healed. Oh, y'all just caught that. You just caught that. Because when the baby went into the presence of the Lord, that baby was well, full well. The baby was healed. But on this side, God chose not to heal. Now, all of this stuff, this word of faith movement, this word of faith teaching that all you got to do is pray and claim it. And if they're not healed, then you lack faith. Stop that. That's foolishness. That is foolishness. Don't believe that. Don't believe that you didn't have enough faith and therefore, no, if God is the source of all healing. Y'all not hearing me? Listen. I'm going to show you how good my God is. God is so good. Back in 2003, September the 8th, 2003, I was at work and I remember grumbling and complaining about why God hadn't healed my finances. I was a faithful tither. I was doing everything I was supposed to do. But yet, we were struggling in our finances. So I'm like, Lord, what's up? Within an hour, my voice was gone. My throat was so sore, it was hurting so bad, I couldn't even swallow. So I went to the ear, nose, and throat specialist. They gave me antibiotics, gave me prescription antibiotics, all this stuff, and I'm taking all of this stuff. But then he also told me, don't get close to your children. So here I am, laying up in bed, and my baby's little, they at the door waving. And I'm wanting to hold them and play with them. But I couldn't. I couldn't because the doctor said it might be contagious. They really didn't know what it was. And so I'm constantly taking antibiotics. Now, this was a Monday. Then Tuesday come around, I'm thinking, okay, the antibiotics, something got to kick in sooner or later. Still didn't work. So Wednesday morning, I got up. The Spirit of God said, you just need to read my word. Guess what I turned to? Psalms 103. I'm going to show you. God is good. So when I read it, and it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases. And I said, Lord. And right then, the Spirit convicted me. God said, why are you complaining? See, you looking for something else. I've been taking care of you all along. I repented. I cried out to say, God, please forgive me. Within an hour. See, I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm telling you what I know. Within an hour, my voice had come back. The pain was gone. The antibiotics, I took them. I went to the, I did all of that. But it was God who healed me. But I'm going to show you how good my God. You know, God is good. Listen, y'all. This past Monday, in preparation for the day, God had given me this passage of scripture to preach for the day. Yeah. Do you not know, when I got ready to study this passage of scripture, my throat ended up hurting again. The same feeling came again. And my God was just saying, I just want to remind you. I just want to remind you how much I love you. Don't you ever forget. Don't ever forget. We need to praise God because he is a healer. But look. Doesn't stop there. And we thank God for the doctors. We thank God for the nurses. Amen. We thank God for medication. Don't believe a lie that you don't need to go to the doctor. You don't need to take your medication. Amen. Just don't lose sight of the fact that it's God who will even work through that. Amen. God can work through doctors. God can work through nurses. God can work through medication. God can work through medical equipment. But then God don't need it either. But if he chooses to go that route, praise God. Don't get up off of that bed saying, thank you, doctor. Thank you, medication. You can thank them, but you better thank God for them. Hey, as a matter of fact, you ought to be praying for them and let them know, and let the doctor, God, I pray that you work through this man, because he's just a man. How many of y'all know doctors, you can have a PhD. Doctors have made mistakes. Doctors have prescribed stuff wrong. They have. So we need to be praying that God work through them, because he is the ultimate healer. He's the ultimate healer. Listen. Now, not only that, God heals brokenheartedness. God heals brokenheartedness. If your heart is broken, give it to Jesus. If you're brokenhearted this morning, give it to Jesus. Psalm 147:3 says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Binds up their wounds. And then this is the one I'm going to move on from here. James 1:12 says it like this. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he has been tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Y'all know what the crown of life is? That's life to the full. That's 100% health. We receive the crown of life when we get to glory. And you know what? I'm already healed in that regard. See, because of sin and all these things that's going on now, there's sickness and disease. But y'all know when we get to heaven, there's no more sin. There's no more sickness. There's no more sorrow. We get the crown of life. That's life to the full. That's life to the full. And you know, we ought to thank God. We ought to thank God that by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Y'all, that's something to get excited about. You know, in heaven, there ain't no prescription drugs. In heaven, there's no dialysis. In heaven, there is no chemo and radiation treatments. All that's gone. All that's gone. Because we've got a new body. This mortal has to put on immortality. This corruption has to put on incorruption. And we shall be changed. Oh, we shall be changed. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Listen, the twinkling is right before the blink. Some of y'all sleep. This is a little exercise. Do this. Just blink. The twink is right before that. That's how quick it's going to be. It's right before that. But we shall be changed. We'll receive the crown of life, and we ought to praise God for his healing. His healing. Here it is. Number four, we have to praise the Lord for redemption. Praise the Lord for redemption. Look what the scripture says, who redeems your life from destruction. Who redeems your life from destruction. Redemption, the word redemption means to buy back. The word redemption means to bail out. The word redemption means to deliver. It's as if one is about to fall into a pit and God snatches you. It also carries that you are in a pit and you are destined for destruction. Destined for destruction. And someone comes and pays the price to lift you up out of that pit. That's what redeemed. And you and I need to praise God for redemption. Listen. This is David writing this. David faced destruction in his life. David was attacked by a bear and a lion. And God did not allow that bear and that lion to destroy David. David came face to face with a 9-foot-9 giant by the name of Goliath, who wanted to destroy his life. But God rescued him. God bailed him out from Goliath. King Saul hurled spears at David in an attempt to destroy David's life. But every time God allowed that spear to miss his servant, here it is. We need to praise God for redemption, because the enemy has tried to destroy you, whether you know it or not. Listen, the enemy has tried to take you out. The enemy has tried to destroy you, but because God is a God of redemption, God bailed you out. Here it is. Redemption basically says that you are in a fix and you need somebody to get you out. You're in a predicament that you can't do nothing for yourself, and you need somebody to come and bail you out. Anybody ever been in a fix before? And you know that God lifted you up out of that pit. He rescued you. He delivered you from being destroyed. If the enemy could have his way, none of us would be here today. But because God is a God of redemption and God is a deliverer, God has rescued us. God has bailed us out of whatever fix you may have been in. But listen, not only that, I'm going to tell you, we were all in another fix. We were all headed for destruction and hell. We were all on our way to that pit in the ground and destruction and fire, hell's fire. And God snatched us. God snatched us from hell's fire. You didn't do it yourself. Listen, if you could have done it yourself, you would have done it long time ago. If you could have done it yourself, he wouldn't have sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. But he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to snatch you and I from the pits of hell. You ought to praise God because he snatched you. He's delivered you. He's rescued you from hell's fire. That's the reason to praise the Lord. God redeems. You know what? That song said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is there anybody in here? Is there anybody in here? Is there anybody in here that know that you've been redeemed? That you've been bought with a price? That Jesus has changed your whole life? The redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. Anybody been redeemed? Anybody been redeemed? I'm so glad that I've been redeemed. Hey, he snatched my life from destruction. The enemy thought he had me. Jesus came and grabbed me because I'm redeemed. And we ought to praise him. Praise him because we are redeemed. Amen. Amen, amen. Another reason we ought to praise, and we ought to praise the Lord for grace and mercy. Oh, we ought to praise the Lord for grace and mercy. Look at it, verse 4b, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I have to put these two together. Then you're gonna have a number 7. But I have to put these two together. They're like turkey and dressing. They go together. They go together. Look, David reminds us not only that God forgives our sins, heals our sicknesses and diseases, and redeems our lives from destruction, but all of that, he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. That's grace and mercy. Grace and mercy, loving kindness, where we get the word grace, where we get the word favor. See, that's what I love about God. He not only forgives us and heals us and rescues us, then he blesses us. He puts a crown of favor on our lives. Listen, David, this shepherd boy, David was a shepherd. David was taking food to the front line. This same shepherd boy, God elevated and made him king of Israel. Talk about favor. Talk about favor. And see, this is a benefit that you and I have in being in the Lord. One benefit that we ought to praise the Lord for is that God gives us favor. Amen, amen. Listen, you're not in that position because you're so good. You're not where you're at because you're so good or you got it all together. That's favor. Amen. That's just the favor of God. Wherever God has elevated you, that's just God's favor. See, God favors his people. He crowns us with loving kindness. That's favor. And you ought to praise God
for his favor. For his favor, for his favor. You know what? I'm grateful that I have the favor of God on my life. I get excited because I know I don't deserve an ounce of it. None of it. None of it. But I've got favor. I got favor. And it all comes from God. See, when you have the favor of God, the credentials don't mean nothing. Your background means absolutely nothing when you got the favor of God. God took a shepherd boy and made him a king. Made him a king. And people of God, you got to thank God for his favor. And then somebody said, well, I don't know, he hadn't done nothing for me. If you made that statement alone and you still alive, that's favor. Amen. That's favor. But then he doesn't stop there. Mercy. Mercy, loving kindness, and tender mercies. Look what David said about this. Before I go there, I got a scripture out of there. I failed to read. I got to read the scripture. It was so good. God has blessed us with favor. You got children, favor. You got a husband, got a wife, favor. Y'all hear me? Grandchildren, favor. Amen. You got food on the table, favor. That's favor of God. But look, Psalm 512 says it. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield. That's the New American Standard, but I got to read the Message version. I want y'all to get the Message version. Psalm 512 says this. You are famous, God, for welcoming God seekers, for decking us out in delight. I like that. You deck us out in delight. That's favor. It's favor of God. But then tender mercies. Look what David said in Psalms 103:10. He says he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. That's mercy, that God does not treat us as our sins deserve. Woo, that's big. That's big. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. We ought to praise him. We ought to thank him that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's the payment. That's the penalty. But he does not treat us, oh, God of mercy, as our sins deserve. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. God doesn't give us old mercies. Listen, we're so quick. When there's a drive for something, a clothing drive or whatever, we'll go in the closet and find something old to try to give away. God don't treat us like that. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Every time we get up, God has a wealth of brand new mercies. Brand new mercies. And we need to be thankful, and we need to praise him for his mercy. His mercy does not give us what we deserve. Amen. Now, most people be like, well, God is not a just God. No, you don't want justice. Had justice been served? Oh, my goodness. No. Thank God for his mercy. And then number seven. We tied them two together, turkey and dressing. We need to praise the Lord because he satisfies. Woo! Praise the Lord because he satisfies. Look what it says, verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. You and I need to praise the Lord because he satisfies. Now listen to this psalm. David wrote this one, Psalm 145:16. It says, when you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. Y'all, that's powerful. When you open your hand, God, When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. And then Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste, all taste, and see that the Lord is good. In other words, he's giving you a challenge. He's challenging you. If you've never tasted of the Lord, anybody ever tasted of the Lord? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He satisfies our mouth with good things, things that are good, pleasurable, good things God gives us. See, a lot of times we settle for cheap substitute because we can't wait on God. Oh, when God gives it, oh, it's good. In the very beginning, in creation, everything that God made, he said, it is good. It is good. And God gives us things that are good. As a matter of fact, what God gives you is so good, you don't want nothing else. No. When God gives it to you, you're satisfied. You're satisfied. You're satisfied. Listen, that's the joy. We ought to praise him because what he gives us is good. And it gives us satisfaction guaranteed. You can stamp that, baby. You can stamp that. When God gives it to you, satisfaction guaranteed. Have I got a witness? Listen. All you got to do is wait on God. Don't get in a hurry because what he has for you is good. You remember the woman at the well. Jesus encountered this woman. He says, give me a drink. They had dialogue. And Jesus finally told this woman, listen, I've got water that if you drink of this water, you will never, ever thirst again. Oh, here it is. All I'm trying to say is Jesus fills you up. He fills you up. And then guess what else he does? Overflow. Overflow. You looking over here, overflow. God is just blessing you, giving you favor. God is giving you things and filling you up. So much so that they overwhelm you. The Bible says, I'll swing open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't even have room enough to receive. Do I have a witness in it? This is what he does. He satisfies. He fills me up. I don't want nobody else. I've got Jesus. As long as I've got Jesus, I'm good. He satisfies. Then finally, last thing, we need to praise the Lord for renewed strength. Praise the Lord for renewed strength. Satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen, Psalms 92, 12 through 14 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Listen, one of the blessings and benefits of following the Lord is that age ain't nothing but a number. He knows how to renew your strength. I caught a message from Dr. Evans this week, pastor from Dr. Evans, dealing with Elijah and Ahab. And God, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. Then he prayed again, and it did rain. But God told Elijah to run back. And Ahab got in his chariot, and Ahab is in a chariot, and Elijah passed him up. That's what the scripture says. Elijah passed him up. Now listen, Elijah was no young man at that time. He was not a young man at that time, but God renewed his strength and he ran past Ahab in his chariot. Now, if that ain't God, I don't know what is. If that's not renewed strength, I don't know what is. Listen, I've got my own personal testimony that I want to share with y'all, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to be through. My mother, Billy Perryman, born in 1938, January the 18th. Mom, please stand up, Mama. I just want y'all to get a glimpse. Please, please hear me out. Hear me out. I know many others have their own stories, but this is my mama. And I just want to testify about God's renewed strength. Mom, born in 1938. So every time there's a wedding, some of y'all, I'm not the only witness. I've got testimonies in here. But when there's a wedding and my mother is invited to the wedding, and then we leave the wedding and we go to the reception, y'all know that at the reception, the DJ will kick the music on. I'm talking about praising the Lord for renewed strength. Mom has, God has blessed her in this season of her life. And mom will get at the reception, and mom will get the dancing and having a good time because God has renewed her strength. Mom has such a good time that when it's time to go, she starts hiding from me. And I'm trying to track mama down because I'm ready to go home. I'm tired and I'm ready to go home. But mama has renewed strength. And mama's not ready to go. And mama wants to enjoy herself while she's there. You know what Isaiah says? Isaiah said it like this. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, mama has renewed strength. God has given her renewed strength in this season of her life. God will renew your strength just like he did Caleb at 85, who said, give me this mountain. He has renewed strength. But this is what I like about God, and this is where you and I ought to really begin to worship and praise God, because even here in worship, even here on Sundays, as we worship God, as we praise God, as we give God glory, and as we give God honor, and as we give God praise, we are still in our unredeemed flesh. We are still in our humanity. But there's gonna come a day where our strength will be renewed. You don't ever have to worry about getting tired in worship. See, every now and then we get tired. That's why when you go home on Sunday, after a good day of worship, you pass out and you get a good sleep, get a real good rest. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you've been worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you get tired. But there's gonna come a day, there's gonna come a time when all God's children get together in glory. We're gonna have renewed strength. We're gonna have wings like eagles. We're going to worship the King of glory and never get tired. Don't ever have to worry about getting tired. One of these old days, when the Lord calls my name, I'm going to fly with wings as an eagle, and I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. I'll never get tired. I'll never get weary. I'll never get worn. Because in his presence, the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. But can I tell you something? You don't have to wait till then. You don't have to wait till then. You may as well start praising him right now. You might as well worship him right now.